Midway Concrete and Garden Supplies. Call 1800 Midway, midwayconcrete.com.au. Essendon Havel and Great Wall. Driveway deals made for everyone. EssendonHavel.com.au.
Drive with Bob Murphy and Andy Marr on SEN.
No surprises to you. Stevie J, absolute strolling in the back draft number 24. Last look, he had 87% of the vote. And your man got in. It was Al Ablett won the vote, a very tight vote against M. Armstrong to get into the final four. So he got in.
That's a relief.
Well, you can front up
bump
now.
Into him.
South Gippsland over Chrissy.
Exactly.
No problems.
Very much enjoying our time we're spending with Rob Harding as we look back at what was the trade week with a view to the upcoming national draft and what clubs have got left to play with and what they might do to best use the picks that they have at their disposal. We've got four really interesting clubs today: Gold Coast, GWS, Hawthorn, Melbourne. And Rob, before we individualise and I say good day to you, I reckon each one of these clubs will be walking out of the trade period knowing that they've done okay and they've got a bit to play with come national draft time.
Good afternoon, guys. Yeah, I agree, Andy. I think the two of the clubs, with Gold Coast and Hawthorn, with top five picks, that's going to be really important as part of their development. And then Melbourne and GWS, who probably potentially heading in slightly different directions, but both with a fair bit of expectation around them going into next year.
Do you like the fact that Gold Coast, there's something methodical about this. The days of trying to go and get a Gary Ablett or a Carmichael Hahn or, you know, whatever the big ticket thing they tried to bring in to elevate them quickly, it feels like those days are gone. There's something really methodical about the way Gold Coast is going about this this list build at the moment, Rob.
It is. It's a great way to describe it. And they helped enormously by getting pick one and two last year. And they've taken that real emphasis on bringing in players that are going to be long-term part of the club and getting them to buy into the culture. And that starts with the leaders inside the footy club, from the CEO in Mark Evans through to the head of footy, John Haynes, and then into the coaching staff. So you can see what they're doing here. And the other thing that they're being benefited from, or starting to see a bit of benefit out of, is their academy program. So this year in the draft, they're going to have Alex Davies, who's a top 15 pick, we expect. And the more we start to see kids come through the Gold Coast Academy or through the Darwin Zone, where they've got another kid potentially who will maybe top 30 sort of level pick in Joel Jeffrey, the more we start to see out of these two zones for Gold Coast, the more it's going to help them as they go forward.
Rob, do you think it's overstating things to say that the Gold Coast would have benefited for the last few weeks for only losing one player, Peter Wright, out of their locker room? You know, they've had such a culture of just players leaving sort of en masse every year that this locker room can start to build some foundations at that footy club?
I think it's really important, Bob, absolutely. And you compare it to GWS, who are still going through that phase of having a lot of talent on the list but losing it after a few years. And we know in Gold Coast's case, losing Tom Lynch, losing Gary Ablett back to Geelong, now just losing Peter Wright, but also starting to bring players in the other way. So Lockie Weller joins the club, coming back to where he'd grown up on the Gold Coast. We see Rory Atkins and Oleg Markov come in this year from Adelaide and Richmond. And last year, Brandon Ellison, Hugh Greenwood. Gold Coast are starting to build to be a little bit of a destination club, and you don't go and bring in big names straight away. It builds slowly as the team gets better. So I think they've got a good balance at the moment.
What do you know about the two academy kids, Rob? Just really briefly, what types are they?
So Alex Davies is a big-bodied inside mid, so this is perfect, I think, to complement some of their other younger midfielders coming through. And Joel Jeffrey, who's from the Darwin Zone, a bit more of a utility type. So he's 192, maybe a third tall at either end of the ground. So a little bit more development still to go with him, but I think Davies could come in and potentially play from what we've seen of him so far. And add to that, they've got pick five in the draft, which we expect will drop to pick six after Ugal Hagen comes through in those top few picks. And that pick's a really interesting one because we'll talk about Hawthorn in a second, but that Gold Coast pick might be the first sort of live pick in the draft where things start to change. So really interesting position for them from a draft perspective.
Rob, a fair bit of pessimism around the GWS Giants. You know, they lose Jeremy Cameron, they get Jesse Hogan on their books. There's a few other pieces that make up that picture. Where do they sit at the moment in your eyes?
Look, I don't think it's as doom and gloom as it comes across. Obviously, a lot of players going out of the club this year, and you know, Williams, Corr, Langdon, and then Jeremy Cameron, the main one, Luce Heath-Shaw to retirement, and Sam Jacobs as well. It's a lot to lose, but we do know that GWS have had a lot of depth historically. They did have a big mass of draft picks initially. When those players have left, they got more draft picks in. So talent's not particularly an issue. I think what's going to start to show up a little bit for GWS is in their back six. I think there's a few holes there now. So in going through trying to pick a best 22, I think they need Lockie Whitfield at half back. But they really lack the lockdown small defenders. So that was the role that Heath Shaw was playing, as that deeper small defender. I think they're going to struggle a little bit with that going into 2021. But I like the pickup of Jesse Hogan. I think he plays straight away. He gets that opportunity. It's a low-cost pick. And Braden Proust is a fantastic pick in the ruck because their ruck stocks were incredibly thin projected going into next year.
Would you be worried? Look, they've got a good draft hand. They've got 10, 13, 15, 20, 29. So they can bring in some good talent there if they hang on to all those picks. Would you be worried? And this is a question to both of you. You go first, Rob, though. But that if the window closes, if they can't stay competitive at the top end of the table, that a couple of those other players that might follow, those players who have been part of this very good Giants side, might look to finish their careers elsewhere if it starts setting in their own mind that the possibility of winning a premiership won't be happening here?
I think it is a little bit of a concern. The one thing that if I was the GWS management, I'd be selling the players on is that the bulk of their star players, I'm talking about Cornelio, Green, Whitfield, Kelly, are in that 25 to 27 range. So, yes, there's obviously Mumford's much older at 34, but Davis and Ward are in that 30 bracket now. And even Nick Haynes is up to 28. But the bulk of their talent's still in a good bracket that can see them contending for a while if they have the right players around them.
I can see them having a dip, Andy, but I'm not as concerned with the Giants because I think they've been able to build themselves a club. They are a football club with a strong culture and identity, whereas I think the Gold Coast are still trying to do that. So I think the Giants have done a really good job of galvanising that group up there and on and off the field. So I think they may have a dip, but I could see them reload pretty quick.
Which is remarkable, Bob, given the calibre of players that have left over the last four or 5 years. We're not losing insignificant players here. These are, first-round draft picks, frontline players who at the time were seen to be, essential to what GWS were hoping to be. So if you're right, and that is an accurate observation of what it feels like inside that joint, it's incredible that they've been able to maintain that sense.
Well, they got a lot of things right early, didn't they? I mean, Callan Ward and Phil Davis are still, they're still there. They were there at the very, very start, and they're still there. They're no longer the captains, but they've been able to build those foundations that the Suns are still trying to bed down.
Okay. We'll watch that space with a great deal of interest. You mentioned something about Hawthorn and live picks before when we were talking about the Gold Coast Suns. Rob, do you want to expand on that and give us a sense for how you reckon they've fared from a trade perspective?
Absolutely. Well, we know that the Hawks haven't had a lot of early picks in recent years owing to the success that they've had on the field. But when we look at the draft this year, there's a lot of key position talent at the top end. So we talked a little bit yesterday about Riley Filthorpe from West Adelaide, Logan McDonald from WA, and Denver Granger Brass is the other one from WA who's more of a key defender. So these guys are all talls. And with Hawthorn coming in at pick four, which will probably become pick five after Ugal Hagen, they might get the best mid of the bunch. And there's a bit of debate around that because Elijah Hollins is the one who most of the experts have suggested is the best midfielder available, but he's coming off an ACL. So whether that does limit some clubs and whether they decide to overlook him and he drops a few spots, we'll have to wait and see. But I think for Hawthorn to be able to pick a 188 centimetre inside midfielder to come through with this next brigade of talent that they're building is going to be really important to them. So you know that their list has gone through a real regeneration as they lose the back of their premiership players.
They won't know what to do with themselves with a pick this high in the draft. They haven't had one.
They could miss the pick by being late to the draft because they're not used to getting there. Their schedule's all out.
Exactly. They don't turn up until the third round usually.
Hey Rob, what do you make of the Demons? They're always a fascination, the Melbourne Footy Club. How did you see their trade period go, and how are you seeing them as they enter the national draft?
Yeah, big expectations on the D's for 2021. We know 2018 was probably a little bit above where they should have been. 2019 was a little bit below. 2020 was about right, that mid-tier. They need to be back up in the top eight next year. So Ben Brown's a fantastic acquisition for them. Essentially, they did Ben Brown for Braden Bruce. So I think if you'd offered that to Melbourne at the start of the trade period, they'd be more than happy to take that. They do lose Mitch Hannon to the Bulldogs, so I think it's a good pick-up for the Bulldogs. But Melbourne did have a surplus of that mid-size marking type in the forward line. So I think it's now going to give them a really good forward structure and one that their midfield will have a lot more confidence kicking forward to.
So here's the question I have for you two blokes. One of the pots on Melbourne was the erratic way they entered inside 50. Their ball use going forward let them down. So you talk about having this, you know, now they have this really big, you know, sort of forward present. But he's a leading player, isn't he? He's not a kicking on his head and letting go to work. He needs it out in front. Do they have the midfield? Is their midfield sharp enough by foot to make sure that when Ben Brown is wide open, that they are hitting him often enough?
Look, I think it is still a work in progress, that midfield with their ball use, but having the clear leading target is a big part of it. You know, the timing that is required to hit that target coming out of the midfield, a lot of it has to do with the connection between midfield and forward. And I know that they've worked on that in pre-season previously, but I think there'll be a little bit more predictability to their forward patterns, and that will make it easier for the midfielders. And it turns what looks like an average kick into a better kick when there's more predictability forward of the ball. So they still would like to add another outside ball user, I feel. When you go through and do a best 22 of Melbourne, the two areas that stand out are that small defender role, which Neville Jett has played a lot of. I don't think there's a lot of depth in that spot, but also still the wing. We know that they were linked to Jared Pollock for a little period during the trade, but Adam Tomlinson came in to play on the wing last year, ended up as a third tall defender. I don't think they have another genuine, classy outside ball user to play on the wing at the moment, and that would help that delivery into the forward line.
18-19's handy. This what the sort of the whole package that they're left with, not just the players that have come in and gone out, but what they've got to play with at the draft table as well, is very much a part of what we're doing here. And 18-19's something to get enthused about if you're a Melbourne supporter.
It is, and potentially they can package those two up and try and move just a little bit higher. I think it might be a little bit challenging this year to move up the draft because we've got four clubs in the first 20 that have got multiple picks. Obviously Essendon with three, but we've also got Adelaide with a couple, GWS with, I think, three picks, and then Melbourne with the two picks later. So it might be challenging to move up too far, but they should be able to get a couple of really good quality players if they do end up taking both picks to the draft. And it'll keep adding to this list. Melbourne have had some good draft picks in recent years. It's been about translating it on the field. So I think their list is in a fantastic spot, and they should be expecting a top eight finish next year.
Would you, just before we let you go, would you be expecting Oscar McDonald to be thrown another opportunity somewhere?
I think he's potentially a rookie list player at some clubs. Now that we've got some certainty around the list sizes, it helps. But look, I think they'd probably move past him at Melbourne in particular. And he's potentially one that might have to miss out next year.
Hey Rob, it's good. It's a really nice way of rolling the whole thing into a neat ball as we go through these clubs alphabetically, mate. We really appreciate it. We'll speak to you again tomorrow.
Thanks, guys. A couple of big ones on the agenda tomorrow, so looking forward to it.
Yeah, good man, Rob Harding. It's 17 minutes past four.